Rare moments of joy as the death toll from a massive earthquake that rocked Syria and Turkey is nearing 24,000. Iran says it's arrested the main elements behind a recent failed sabotage attempt at a military site in the country. Iran says it has evidence of Israeli involvement. And White House says the U.S. fighter jet has shot down an unidentified high-altitude object over Alaska. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. Now, 4 days after deadly and devastating earthquake hit the Turkish and Syria border regions, rescuers are racing against time to pull survivors from the debris. This is the moment when a man was rescued in Turkey after spending 104 hours under rubble. Another group of rescuers pulled out a woman alive in the Turkish province of Hatay, and across the border, rescuers also found a 6-year-old boy alive under wreckage in Syria's northwest. A Syrian mother and her 10-day-old baby were also found alive. Now, rescue efforts have been hampered by freezing weather and lack of equipment. Death toll from the earthquake continues to rise and currently stands at over 23,700. Now, based on figures, over 3,500 have been confirmed dead in Syria, while over 22,200 have been found dead in Turkey. The Turkish president has visited the front lines of the disaster. He admitted rescue efforts were very difficult due to the scale of the devastation.
Despite the fact that we have gathered perhaps one of the largest search and rescue teams to the region, with more than 140,000 members, unfortunately it's a fact that we have not been able to respond as fast as we hoped.
Erdogan further added his government will help people move from tents to homes and give them financial assistance for rent. The Syrian president Bashar al-Assad and his wife also visited quake-hit areas in the northwestern city of Aleppo. Assad stopped by Aleppo University Hospital, where the injured have been treated. The Syrian president also inspected relief efforts while pledging more support. Now, earlier Monday morning, southern Turkey and northern Syria were hit by a 7.8 magnitude quake that was followed by hundreds of aftershocks. And a top World Health Organization official says the earthquake that hit Syria has once again put the Arab country's crisis in the spotlight.
Well, now the earthquake has brought attention, but the world has forgotten about Syria. Frankly, the earthquake has brought attention back, but those millions of people in Syria have been struggling now for years, and it's become a forgotten crisis. So, in fact, paradoxically, while the earthquake is an awful tragedy, it's bringing at least attention back to the broader needs of this population, which are huge.
A WHO official made the remarks as the agency prepared to fly medical supplies to Syria from Dubai. UN official has warned as many as 5.3 million people in Syria may have been made homeless after this tremor. Now, the Syrian government has approved the delivery of humanitarian aid to militant-held areas in the country's northwest. However, very little international aid has so far reached Syria compared to Turkey, and that's due to sanctions imposed by the U.S. and European Union. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has said many countries are under pressure from Washington not to help Syria. Following widespread criticism, though, U.S. has issued a temporary sanctions waiver for Syria. Iran security forces have arrested the main perpetrators of a failed drone attack on a military site in the central city of Esfahan. In a statement, Iran's intelligence said investigations are continuing, but the role of Israeli mercenaries in the sabotage attempt has already been established. They added, failed operation was a desperate response to crushing blows the Israeli regime has suffered inside occupied territories. However, intelligence services stress Israeli aggression will not remain unanswered and warn the regime of, quote, a lesson to remember. Late last month, Iran's defense ministry said it had repelled a drone attack on one of its workshops in Isfahan. The attack did not cause any loss of life and only caused major or minor damage to the roof of that workshop. Earlier, we spoke to author and journalist Robert Fantina for his take on the incident in Al-Quds. He believes Western countries oppose any resistance to Israeli occupation.
Under international law, an occupied people has the right to resist the occupation in any way at their disposal, including armed struggle. So the resistance that we're seeing, the car rammings that occasionally happen, stabbings and shootings that occasionally happen, are all part of the efforts of the Palestinians to free themselves from this brutal bondage that they've been under for so many years. It's interesting that Western countries, and especially the United States, I will single the U.S. out, opposed any violent resistance to the occupation. So several years ago, the Palestinians switched to nonviolent BDS. Well, many states in the United States have outlawed BDS. So the goal of the United States government is not to come up with a peaceful resolution to the occupation and the suffering of the Palestinian people. It simply wants to give Israel whatever it wants. Israel's goal is all of Palestine, and it has been encroaching in Palestinian land now for decades, and continues to do so.
Tensions remain high in occupied territories. Israeli forces have killed another Palestinian man in occupied East Al-Quds following a car ramming attack at an illegal settlement. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says attack is a natural response to Israeli crimes. We covered the story in depth earlier with our guests in our news review program. And now welcome everyone to the News Review program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. Now, Israeli forces have shot dead a Palestinian man in occupied Al-Quds following a car ramming attack at a settlement. Man rammed his car into a group of settlers at a bus stop in East Al-Quds, killing two and injuring several others. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas hailed the quote, heroic operation. A group spokesman said the attack is a natural response to all Israeli crimes against Palestinians. Hazem Qassem stressed that anti-Israel operations will continue as long as the regime's occupation of Palestinian land continues. Latest developments come amid heightened tensions in occupied territories. Israel has intensified its crackdown throughout the West Bank, killing over 40 Palestinians, including 9 children, since the beginning of 2023. And now joining us for our program is Dr. Kevin Baird, editor at Veterans Today, joining us from Madison, Wisconsin, and Robert Fantina, author and journalist, joining us from Kitchener, Ontario. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I guess, Dr. Baird, we'll start with you in the States there. Hope you're safe and doing well out there in Madison. Now, Dr. Baird, if we watch Fox or CNN, we're going to be like, oh goodness, this young Palestinian man is driving his vehicle into these Israeli settlers. But do they really understand? Does the media outlets in the West really explain to the viewers what a settler is, their perspective of the Palestinian living under occupation for so many years? They don't really know, because I was out there. I grew up out there, and I didn't really know, until I got into the university level and started really researching this stuff. So, Dr. Barry, your initial thoughts on this attack and how it's portrayed in the media and what the truth behind it really is.
Yeah, the media here is owned and operated by Zionists. It's just a fact that there was actually a very, very interesting piece written by Philip Weiss, the former New York Times journalist, several years ago. And I believe the headline is, "Do We Jews Dominate the Media? And So What If We Do?" And Philip Weiss is a liberal Jewish American journalist who used to work for the New York Times and other top-level outlets. And in that article, he discusses the fact that throughout his mainstream journalism career, probably a slight majority of his peers and bosses were all Jewish, and virtually all of them were biased towards the Zionist entity. And that has consequences. That ownership structure and control structure of the American media, which is completely hidden from the American people, and you're insulted and called a racist and anti-Semite if you even mention it, has this huge consequence of Americans being massively misinformed about this issue. There are heroic people pushing back, trying to get this information to the average American. IfAmericansKnew.org is a great website that's doing that. But most people, they just, you know, all they ever see is whenever there's some kind of Palestinian violence against an Israeli, that gets greatly blown up in the American media. I believe there was a study done that IfAmericansKnew.org publicized showing that a Palestinian death gets less than 1/60th of the attention in the American media and the New York Times in particular as a Palestinian death. So, people are systematically misinformed here. And it's ironic that the average Israeli is actually probably better informed, and so they know what a settler is. And probably a third of the population of the Zionist entity despises the settlers. Well, maybe it's down to a quarter now, but a significant fraction of the people of the Zionist entity are embarrassed about the way that ever since these fake peace accords in the 1990s, that the facts on the ground have been established, meaning that Palestine is being ethnically cleansed by these settlements. And the people they send into these settlements are fanatical genocidal maniacs. They attack Palestinians constantly. They murder Palestinian children. They chop down the olive trees. They destroy whatever they can get their hands on. And so the Palestinians are being victimized by what amounts to a genocide, as Professor of International Law Francis Boyle has put it. And they have every right to fight back. But every time that they fight back and harm an Israeli, the American Zionist-controlled media just goes bananas and plasters it all over the headlines and makes the Palestinians look like terrorists, when in fact it's the Zionists who are the terrorists and the genocide perpetrators. So it would be nice if there was a way to fix this problem of the American media. Frankly, if I were elected president, I would declare a national emergency. I would say that our media is controlled by a hostile, genocidal foreign entity that is essentially an enemy of the United States, and I would seize the mainstream media from the Zionists who own it, and change it, break it up under the antitrust laws, and make sure that the ownership of our media was American and not Zionist.
Thank you, Dr. Barrett. And Mr. Robert Fiantina, welcome to the program. Now, Robert, we know that, to Dr. Barrett's point, when it comes to Israeli regime authorities, when it comes to they deal with Palestinians, they give them no concessions anytime they want to sit down and even address anything that has to do with Palestinian rights. Everything, you know, every crackdown comes with a very heavy-handed approach, iron fist against Palestinians, including children. And recently, this new zero-sum cabinet, this far-right extreme cabinet, is talking about cracking down on prisoners, taking away their rights and visitations. And what recourse at this point do Palestinians have? Things were awful for them. It was a genocidal entity dealing with them. They're dealing with ethnic cleansing for 70 years, and now they're up against the most far-right extreme in the history, supposedly, of the regime. What do they do moving forward from here on in, Robert, to deal with this situation?
Under international law, an occupied people has the right to resist the occupation in any way at their disposal, including armed struggle. So the resistance that we're seeing, the car rammings that occasionally happen, stabbings and shootings that occasionally happen, are all part of the efforts of the Palestinians to free themselves from this brutal bondage that they've been under for so many years. They're using whatever tools are available to them to resist the occupation, and they will continue to do so, and should receive the support of the international community in doing so. It is Israel that is a terrorist organization, Israel that is the apartheid entity, it is Israel that is conducting ongoing genocide against the people of Palestine. The rest of the world community needs to recognize that. Now, with this extreme right-wing government, perhaps, just perhaps, this will be a turning point.
Robert, I want to apologize. We're just about out of time. We have about 30 seconds left. Hope you can get your final thoughts in. Go ahead, bud.
the United States could end the problems in the Middle East. It could end the settlement expansion. It could require the settlements to be vacated. It simply needs to turn off the money tap. $4 billion a year to Israel, and Israel will do nothing for the cause of human rights or peace in the region.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us on the program there. Dr. Kevin Barrett, editor at Veterans Today, joining us from Madison, Wisconsin, and Robert Fantina, author and journalist, joining us from Kitchener, Ontario. Thank you for tuning in, and bye-bye for now. U.S. says it's shot down a high-altitude object over Alaska on the order of President Joe Biden. White House says unidentified object was traveling at about 40,000 feet when it was intercepted by a fighter jet. National Security spokesperson John Kirby says it's unclear where the object originated from. According to Kirby, it landed in U.S. waters and authorities expect to recover it. The Pentagon has also described the object as unmanned, adding it was not maneuverable. That's a careful distinction with the high-altitude Chinese balloon U.S. shot down on the 4th of February. Balloon incident has triggered tensions with Beijing, which has slammed the U.S. move as overreaction. FBI has discovered additional classified documents during a search of residence of former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. The investigators found one-page document in Pence's Indianapolis home. Last month, ex-vice president said his lawyers had discovered dozens of documents marked classified at his home. They were turned over to authorities. Developments put Pence in the company of President Joe Biden and his predecessor Donald Trump. They're both facing investigations for improper handling of classified materials. Ukraine says a long-awaited Russian offensive is underway in the east as Moscow's forces make rapid advances toward the frontline city of Bakhmut. Russia's private military contractors appear to have advanced a few kilometers north of the area since Tuesday. That's according to the UK Defense Ministry. It said Russian forces are now threatening the main western access road to Bakhmut. Russia has been trying to encircle and capture the city in eastern Donbas region for months. However, front lines barely moved until recently. That's ahead of the anniversary of the beginning of the war on February the 24th. Also on Friday, Ukrainian officials said that Russia hit power facilities across the country with missiles and drones, causing widespread blackouts. Moscow denies targeting civilians and says facilities it attacks support Kiev's war effort. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
A new poll has found that the majority of Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run again. According to this poll, only 37% of his party colleagues want the 80-year-old president to seek re-election. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Forbes, most Democrats are keen to see the back of President Joe Biden, according to an APNORC poll released recently, with few supporting the incumbents making another bid for the White House in 2024, as doubts grow about his ability to govern successfully, accomplish major policy goals, or work with Republicans controlling the House. Only 37% of Democrats want Biden to make another bid for the White House in 2024. According to the poll of 1,068 Americans conducted between January 26 to 30, down from around 50% in the agency's polls in October and January. Biden's falling support is concentrated among younger Democrats, the poll found, with less than a quarter, 23% of Democrats under 45, supporting another election bid, down from nearly half, supporting one, 45% before the midterms. The drop in support was more modest among older Democrats ages 45 and over, the poll found, with nearly half, 49%, in favor of Biden running again, down from 58% in October. Overall, only 22% of Americans polled think Biden should run again in 2024, down from 29% from before the midterms, and only 9% of Republicans would want to see him run. The figures come amid poor approval ratings for Biden. Just 41% approve of his performance as president, and just a quarter, that is 25%, of the public feel like the country is heading in the right direction, the poll found. Many Democrats expressed having little to no confidence in Biden's ability to effectively manage government spending, 71%, accomplish major policy goals, 71%, and work with Republicans in Congress, 85%, a sentiment almost all Republicans, that is 94% to 96%, said they shared. According to Forbes, Biden has struggled in the polls over the last year as his popularity wanes among members of the public. Despite several legislative wins and Democrats' success in the midterms, this poll is the latest of many suggesting Americans do not wish to see his name on the ticket again in 2024. Growing disapproval towards the nation's leaders is not solely directed at Biden, and a slew of political controversies have sourced attitudes towards officials across the board. Representative Kevin McCarthy required 15 rounds of votes and major concessions to a small number of fringe right-wing legislators to secure enough support from his own party to be elected House Speaker. One of those votes, Representative George Santos, has dominated the news cycle since his election after numerous investigations suggest he has fabricated large parts of his work and personal history, steadfastly refusing to resign or address the matter despite growing outrage. Former President Donald Trump, who a recent poll suggests is now the latest popular among voters since 2015, is embroiled in a slew of controversies, investigations, and lawsuits. Trump, as well as former Vice President Mike Pence and Biden, has come under fire after classified documents were found at his Mar-a-Lago estate. Also, RT wrote in this regard, a clear majority of Democrats are not enthusiastic about U.S. President Joe Biden's plans to seek re-election in 2024. The survey has the data from the Associated Press. NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found that only 37% of Democrats say they want Biden to run for a second term, 15% lower than the figure recorded before the midterm election in November. Overall, only 22% of adult respondents believe that the 80-year-old Biden should run for another four-year term. This is down from 29% prior to the midterms. The poll notes that the dwindling numbers of Democrats approving of Biden's potential re-election bid seem to be based on the sentiment prevalent among younger voters. The lack of enthusiasm for Biden appears most pronounced among younger Americans. Among those aged 45 or over, 49% said the president should run again. Only 23% of respondents under 45 felt the same, however. According to AP, in the follow-up interview, some respondents suggested that Biden's age would hamper his ability to perform his duties, noting his cough, gait, and recurring public gaffes. The latest gaffe came during a White House event recently in which Biden bragged about the gender composition of his cabinet, saying, "More than half the women in my administration are women." In January, Biden attempted to sing Happy Birthday to the daughter-in-law of civil rights icon Martin Luther King Jr., but failed to recall her name. At a public event in September, he inquired as to the whereabouts of Representative J.K. Walorski from Indiana, who had died in a car accident a month earlier. Biden has on numerous occasions signaled that he plans to seek re-election but has stopped short of officially launching his campaign, saying the final decision will hinge on his health and discussions with his family. Former U.S. President Donald Trump, Biden's main opponent in the 2020 election, formally announced his intention to run again in mid-November.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
The God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Yasser.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for having me again, brother.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a pleasure being here.
The pleasure is all ours, actually, to have you both in the studio criticizing the movie Never Hurt, produced in 2018, directed by Josh Weber. As you all know, if you may follow these series of programs, Viewpoint, on IRIB English Radio, you would definitely know that we haven't come to the end of the critique of this movie, so we postponed it to this episode, hopefully. And before me asking my two brothers, actually, the guest speakers in the studio, the questions regarding this movie, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie you never heard, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
Lyaran, you were raised in the church. You know what to do. You have to repent for the things you've done. And you've got to turn your life over to him.
I am sorry for all the things I put you through. I am.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. This is the movie critique program here. And we are trying to criticize the movie Never Heard. You just heard or listened to another part of the movie Never Heard. Let me direct this question to you, Sayyid Abdullah. You know, in the previous episode, I asked Brother Yasser about the concept of forgiveness. That was a part that came up in the previous episode. And I asked him what forgiveness is, and he gave us a very nice definition of what forgiveness is. And he compared it actually between the Islamic teachings and that of the Christian creed. But I'm going to ask you a question regarding repentance, because this is a part that that I chose. Aaron's mom, basically the person who's in prison, the prisoner, Jalen's father. But Aaron's mom, who is Jalen's grandmother, who's, you know, acting as a religious person in the movie, you know, advises her son, Aaron, actually in the prison, to repent for the sins that he committed. Mm-hmm. All right? Although, of course, at the end of the movie, everybody knows that he's acquitted of his, you know, role in the murder. Crime. So he didn't actually commit the murder. So basically, he was cleared of this. But still, you know, his mom, Aaron's mom, advises his son to repent. What is repentance? And why does she insist on her son's repentance?
Repentance is just, in a basic term, is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for the sins that you've committed, and obviously with the condition that you don't do it again. That's what tawbah is, that you go back, because tawbah in Arabic means to go back to something that you have done.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you don't commit what you've done before. And with, like I said, with the condition that you don't do it again, and, you know, other conditions.
Yes.
And that you have to give the haq back and what have you. So this is what tawbah is, asking God for forgiveness sincerely, pure-heartedly, and never to commit sins again. In the movie, when she asked her son to repent to God, which he did not swallow very well, he did not accept.
Yes.
Either because they did not make it very clear in the movie whether she herself believed her son was innocent. So she could have thought that he was guilty of the crime that he did. And coming from a Christian faith, no matter what you do, if you ask for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven, kind of. You know, they have this kind of mentality. So either she's asking him for that kind of sin that he repent from, that he's still insisting on saying that I haven't done it, or not just general, because he himself, like, I think throughout the movie, he also, like, made a few remarks about himself. He says, I'm not the best. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, right? So from that, maybe she was asking him to repent as well. So the concept of repentance is an Islamic concept, is a Christian concept. I think it's most religions have that concept of repentance, of asking God to forgive your sins and clear you of your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said he's a tawwab, right? It's one of his names, that he's, you know, he repents, he accepts the repentance of people. So this is the case here, that she wants him to repent.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to actually also put my finger on the difference between the legalese, which is crime, criminal, and stuff like this, and the religious terminology, which is sin, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is what they make a difference about. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, Never Heard, directed by Josh Weber, and then we'll be back with his question. Don't go away.
Baby, what do you want?
I want my dad!
You have me!
For what? The 1 hour in the morning before school? The 30-minute car ride home? Your weekends are consumed with your stupid weekend conferences and your book signings. Okay, cool. Saturday we eat at grandma's house, but by the time Sunday comes around, you're too busy with football and basketball. And here comes Monday, and the cycle starts all over again. I'm tired of sharing you with everybody.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers in the program, trying to criticize the movie Never Heard, produced in 2018, directed by Josh Weber. Brother Yasser, you know, there's a conversation between the father and, you know, his daughter, Paris. They are talking about the quality time that they don't have. Basically, we are talking about that university lecturer who's also religious and doing some kind of a project in the prison later on, all right? But we see that there's some kind of, you know, problem going on between the father, who's a religious figure, basically, and also a teacher at the university, and his daughter, right, Paris. Well, what can families do today, you know, in this modern life, in this modern time, to spend more time with each other despite the rush, despite the hustle and bustle of today's life?
I don't think quantity is something we should focus on. A lot of people, especially in modern life, in many things they focus on quantity. How much? How long? How many? Whereas what is important is quality.
Mm-hmm. This is what we lack today.
This is what we lack, quality.
Yes.
In everything we do. I mean, even if you go back, and I like going back because going back is nice. You look at traditional medicine, for example, compared mm-hmm. to modern medicine. When we go back to family, right? So traditional medicine was based on what? On kaif, on quality.
Mm-hmm.
Quality of what? And the person has certain traits within him. Those traits will enable me to kind of particularly find a cure for this person. Well, if you look at modern medicine today, it's what is how many we can serve in mm-hmm. the fast amount of time as possible, how much we can produce, and how much money we can make. So going back to family life, it's the same, that we don't spend quality time with our family members. Most of the time we are either, when we do spend the time, it is, you know, on our phones, on our laptops, on watching, you know, doing our own things. And the amount of time we spend, even though it is little, it is not quality.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that amount of time just to kind of put a tick next to, oh, I've done it. It is not that particular quality that a person can do. I mean, okay. 5 minutes or 10 minutes with a child, quality, like mm-hmm. you spend and you give your whole attention to it. Not, for example, we do, child is speaking, we're on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
That is not quality time. Yes, I give him that 5-10 minutes. I give her 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel that, you know, work is so important that, you know, I'm... Like, we see this in many other movies as well, that the child gets annoyed with the parents because the amount of work that the parent does. And the parent thinks, no, I'm doing this work for you.
Yes.
So this is like the clash.
I see.
That happens. The one is between the quality and the quantity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, Never Heard, directed by Josh Weber, and then we'll be back to continue our program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Yes, there may have been things that happened in your past, and some things that were beyond your control. Don't allow your past to defeat you. In spite of your weakness, you owe it to yourself to choose victory over defeat. In spite of what you've been through, you owe it to yourself to win. And say, I can make it. I will win. I am a champion. I know the devil told you you would never make it. The devil is a liar. When people say you can't, you say I can. When the devil says you can't, you say, I can, I can. My struggle can't hold me, I can. Now if you choose victory, clap your hands. give God some praise.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah, my two guest speakers, trying to criticize the movie Never Heard, directed by Josh Weber, produced in 2018. This is a Christian American movie. And Sayyid Abdullah, there is this part that the priest is giving a sermon on human abilities for progress. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice part, basically. What's with the positive psychology in church sermons? If you happen to listen to the sermons of the priest, you may find that there is lots of emotional stuff in their sermons, basically, psychologically speaking, and they're trying to talk people into, thinking so positively about their life and whatsoever that they're talking about. Is it only peculiar to the church, or we have it in common with the other religions too? We also see that Mr. Monty, the religious lecturer, the university lecturer, and also the religious character in this movie, has an active and positive role in educating people in his parish, basically, right? And the group therapy that he's holding, one of them being Aaron, right?
Yeah.
The prisoner. Probably because of his background in psychology that he says, he mentions that, right, in the movie. Isn't it something that we take away as a lesson from this movie also? This is very important. We also had it in the old times that people in trouble would go to the gray-bearded people, basically, the old people, senior citizens, asking for advice. And normally they had something...
That wisdom.
Yeah, a kind of wisdom, actually, to solve their problems. But now, not even the court would be able to do so.
Yeah, true. Look, with the concept... When it comes to the to religion being positive, I think Christianity they went way too far with positivity, and they neglected the other part. And this is what all Christianity is about: just positive. God loves you. Come in, and that's it. Done deal. Islam tried to place a balance between, as we say, khawf and raja. Right. So there has to be this balance. If you become too positive, you become too soft, you would neglect your duties. So. With Christianity, just positive. So this has to be noted, that Islam plays a balance. You have to have fear and have raja, have hope, and be positive. Islamically speaking, Islam does emphasize on positivity when it comes to sinners, for example. It says, if you're a sinner, don't lose hope. God is there. God will forgive you. Ya abadi ladina asrafu ala anfusihim. La taqantu min rahmatillah. Come back. Allah will, when he talks to the believers, to the pious people, be careful, be worried. I think this hadith from Dawood, he says, bashir al-mudnibin and warn the muttaqeen or siddiqeen. Yeah. Like, how does that work? So, as a faithful person, be on your toes.
Yes.
As a sinner, don't lose hope. So you can always come back. So I think this is what differentiates Islam from other religions. As for the movie itself, it's a good message that God loves you, God wants you. But don't go too far to the extent that you neglect everything else. Just, okay, Jesus will love you, Jesus will take care of you, and you so much are left behind. Now, this character himself, he played the role of a psychologist. He brought them all together, connected the family together through at least, since it worked. So I think this is also a good message for at least for hardcore people who just take life as, one way.
Yeah,
you can have a bit leniency, have a bit more positivity in your life and work through it.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to this movie critique program, Viewpoint, on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program and joining us. In fact, in this program that we try to criticize the movie Never Heard, directed by Josh Weber. Thank you very much. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Always say I am that. Anytime the devil tells me I am something, always say I'm not that. You can't do all things through Christ. Christ will strengthen it to you. You can make the choice today. I don't care how deep you're in it, you're coming out of it. I declare in Jesus' name that today is your day of freedom.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Ilhan Omar was removed from the U.S. House Foreign Affairs Committee because she is a Muslim, a woman, and because she has pigments in her skin that are more than that of her white colleagues. She is judged based on that, on top of the fact that she was born in Africa and she was a black woman. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Tehran Times noted in this regard, one of the pillars that created the United States of America was the Second Amendment against Africans. The text of the infamous 27-word Second Amendment in 1791 reads, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." That was 1791. And you would think there would have been some kind of development in the U.S. since 1971, but there hasn't been. Racism exists today against the common black American in the same way it existed then, and that was an era when the black community were forced to build the country. The Second Amendment was introduced in U.S. history to carry arms constantly amid perpetual fears of retribution from some of the enslaved Africans that were shipped to the country and exploited for hard labor purposes such as construction of U.S. roads, railways, and other infrastructure in a bid to push the newly found country to its capitalistic ideals. These fragile white populations could only rely on their bullets to protect white slave owners and other white communities from the cruel and barbaric treatments they were dishing out to the Africans. Other groups such as the Native Americans, who were there on the land long before any other white European arrived and were also subjected to unjust treatment, slaughter, forced relocation, and cultural assimilation, among other racist measures, were almost wiped out. These same white communities knew that if they did not have some kind of armament to protect themselves, they would face some form of retaliation from the enslaved Africans or the indigenous people of the land, which they were committing different types of atrocities against. This ideology has carried on for generations until today, when the same white populations are in a state of fear over any retribution that would change the equation in America, considering the widespread racism against minority groups, especially against black people, that continues to be witnessed now on TV screens. There is no political will among the white population to make changes because, again, there is that fear that any kind of several reversal in the power structure where non-white groups gain equal power on all levels would be to their detriment. So they hold on to guns to try and prevent this form happening. The racist police brutality against unarmed black American civilization did not start with a brutal and gruesome attack against Tyre Nicholas, who died of his injuries 3 days after the violent assault. It dates back centuries, but in 2022 alone, there were 1,100 police killings, an average of 3 people every day. On average, one of those people would be black. Despite black Americans being an overwhelming minority group in comparison with white people, it just further displays a disproportionate murder of black Americans. There is no point in surrogating it anymore. This is a country where it is acceptable for its police force, with the power they enjoy from corrupt white officials, to take the lives of innocent black Americans. The police murder of Tyre Nicholas, like the murder of George Floyd, sparked domestic and international outrage because it was captured and released on video. On the same day that Nicholas was murdered, police murdered 2 other people, but those deaths were not captured or released on video. The videos bearing witness to the brutal killing of Tyre Nicholas evoke feelings of pain, horror, and terror that are tragically familiar to so many Americans. Tyre Nicholas is now part of a group whose names we know, like George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and whose names we don't, Senator Cory Booker noted. The last 5 words are important. We don't know the names of most black Americans who have been murdered by a state official force. If black Americans saw all the videos of the police shooting to death or murdering black Americans, there would be a revolution in the U.S. There is a corrupt U.S. political culture of militarism, violence, and mass discrimination. And there is no way for that not to trickle down to policing and the way it is conducted. Some say Nicholas himself asked for police assistance after his car was involved in an accident, but he wouldn't be the first black American to die after calling for police help. The nature of U.S. policing is such that the murder of black Americans is inevitable. Black Americans activists say it is a good thing that they do not have confidence in the police. And to make matters worse, most of the police murders that occur against black people in America have been reported as alleged crimes for minor offenses that are not life-threatening, serious, or harmful to anybody. The corruption here is that police departments, such as, for example, in New York, have a budget of $10 billion. That's a massive amount to go around arresting and murdering black Americans for minor offenses or alleged minor offenses. On the other hand, these same police departments have a very poor track record in solving the major crimes that the American population is most concerned about. The police are not in danger. The opposite is true. the black community is in danger of the police. Again, it comes down to corruption in America from the highest level possible, such as President Joe Biden and his son Hunter, the former president and his family, and down the chain of command. This is the same policy of corruption in the U.S. that saw a lawmaker dismissed from her post because she was sitting at an intersection of different identities. The Second Amendment in 1791 is what still keeps the white population in power today. At the end of the day, no matter what statements are published from politicians about gun reforms, the Second Amendment will keep firearms in the hands of the white U.S. population. And this is despite the fact that it states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is what the American establishment will resort to when more deadly racist murders against the marginalized black communities emerge on video and real violence in the form of a civil war or a revolution takes place. The lynching of black Americans that was witnessed as early as 19th century was overseen by the authorities in southern cities like Memphis, Tennessee, and did nothing to address it. This was the same time when black people in the South had to use different toilets, address white people with the title sir, and face so many different forms of racial harassment and cruelty. Memphis, Tennessee, was one of the hardest regions in the United States for black Americans to live in as they suffered and endured too much from white people. That was supposed to have ended with the civil rights movement in 1960s, which put the issue of race under so much a spotlight that politicians were forced to address the matter of discrimination. Then came the assassinations of many leading figures of the civil rights movement, such as Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. The brutal murder of Nicholas in January 2023 also occurred in Memphis, Tennessee, in a reminder of its dark history. When you look at the wider picture, some would perhaps say things have slightly improved, but if you speak to the common black American, they would say they face the same struggle, injustice, and discrimination, and that nothing has changed whatsoever. Racial profiling with policing is just one of the many forms of discrimination that they face today in the United States.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.